Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to start. So we consider, as we consider worry, but not for the sake of hoping we can be good at it, but rather being able to have a handle on our thoughts and on our actions, that we're able to say that we don't have a lifestyle of worry, that that's not something that's a part of who we are. What kinds of things could a person worry about?
What couldn't they worry about?
Okay, name it, right? Yeah. What couldn't they worry about? We could be in a place where worry is constantly at our doorstep and constantly in our minds and constantly in our hearts about our family, about our health, about our job, about our future, about what retirement is going to be like, about what our government is going to be like, about what life is going to be like. We could worry about everything under the sun. Are the Tigers going to win today? I don't know. I don't know. I'm nervous. We could worry about anything. But is that where we're supposed to be? Is that where our mind is supposed to go? Is that where our heart is supposed to be in life? Well, let's see. How can we then also be able to fight against it or live against worry? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus here is speaking and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Indeed we are. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Here Jesus gives us really the key to dealing with worry. First he says, don't worry. Don't do it. Do not worry. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all that stuff is going to be given to you as well. You see, Jesus gives us the key. He gives us the way that we're able to deal with thoughts of worry when they begin to pop into our minds. He says, don't worry, but he doesn't only say don't worry, because if you're told not to do something, what's the first thing we do? Something, whatever that thing is. Right? Don't eat this cookie that's sitting on the counter. You can't have it. Cookie, right? I mean, it begins to consume our minds and our thoughts. And maybe we don't, but boy, it sure is running through our minds. How can I eat it? How can I get away with eating it? How can I get another cookie and replace the one that I've already eaten? You see, when we're given a task, don't do this, that's the very thing that begins to consume our minds sometimes. So Jesus says, do not worry. But not only does he say that, he gives us the key to be able to deal with worry. Instead of worrying be the thing that's on your mind, instead of that being the focus of your thoughts, instead of that being where your mind goes in different situations, whether it be food and clothes or our jobs and our future or our government or anything else, don't worry, but rather seek God, his kingdom, his righteousness, and all that stuff is going to work out. It might not be perfect. It might not be to the way that you thought it was going to be. It might not be to the thing that you thought was going to be the best thing for that. He says, seek God, Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to you as well. Amen? So the key isn't just, okay, I'm not going to worry about this. Right? You wake up at 3:30 in the morning with some kind of thing in your mind. What do? You just tell yourself, well, don't worry about it. Right. Well, I think probably we've all been there. That's not the key to being able to get rid of it. That's not the key to be able to deal appropriately and have our mind appropriately on the right thoughts. But rather, don't worry. Instead, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seek things of the Lord. Put our minds, instead of on the stuff around us, instead of on things that we at 3:30 in the morning are not able to tend to, instead of putting our minds on those things, put our minds on things above. Put our minds on things of God. Seeking him and his way and his rule, seeking his direction and his leadership, putting our faith and our trust in him, knowing he's able to work this out better than I am on my own anyway. Amen? Amen? Isn't God able to take care of things better than you are? No offense to you, but isn't that the truth? He sure does a lot better with my life than I do. I've taken control of my life before. It's been a disaster. But as we live in the Lord and make decisions in which he is taking care of us and we are joining him in that, God is able to work wonderfully. He's able to work wonderfully, and there isn't anything that we need to worry about. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus says at one point here in Matthew chapter 6, "O you of little faith." It's interesting the link that Jesus puts between faith and worry. You see, when we worry, we are concerned about something that the future holds, that it's going to be a bad thing. And that indeed has a lot to do with our faith and our believing of who God is, our believing of what he is able to do in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" So when worry becomes something that begins to play a part in our minds, when we're concerned about this item, this thing, whatever this thing is, whether it's stuff or our jobs or our future or a relationship or whatever, begin to worry about those things, our response, rather than being consumed with how that might turn out and probably it's going to turn out bad, is our thinking a lot of times. It's not the truth, but that's a lot of times our thinking. Rather than doing that, we ought to say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Those ought to be our words. Those ought to be our thoughts. Instead of, I wonder if the... I don't want to put worry in your mind, so I'm not even going to say it. Rather than worrying about anything, we are able to say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." We can say that with confidence. Notice that? With confidence. Because God is not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. That remains the truth. Many times, just like fear, worry is about lies. Did you hear that? Many times, just like fear, worry is about lies. We worry about the worst thing that could happen in any kind of a scenario. That's not the truth. We worry about provision not being there. We worry and are concerned about this thing or the other. And most often, they're based not on the truth. The truth is always going to be that God is never going to leave us nor forsake us. The truth is always going to be that we are able to say with confidence, whether we choose to or not, we're able to say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." That's the truth. We're able to say that with confidence. But too often, we spend 3 hours in the middle of the night with a stomachache, concerned about what's going to happen in the morning. concerned about what's going to happen next week, concerned about things that we don't, by our own power, have control over. However, we have a God who is able to work in those situations. We have a God who is able to take care of and tend to those situations in ways that, again, might not be exactly the way that we think it ought to be done, but I think God's doing a pretty good job, isn't he? And anyone? You got it too warm in here? God is able. God is able. He is not going to leave us. He is not going to forsake us. That doesn't mean life is always going to be perfect and life is always going to be without any kind of glitch or anything unexpected. But God is not going to leave us. He is not going to forsake us. And so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I am not going to be afraid. The Lord is my helper. I'm not going to worry about this issue because the Lord is my helper. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. The trick is being disciplined to do that. Isn't that right? I mean, the word's really clear about it. Don't worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The word's very clear. The trick is practicing it. The trick is putting us in a place where that becomes our response rather than, oh no, what's going to happen, right? I am not awesome at this. This is not something that I just excel with flying colors, and so I can stand here before you as the primo example of not worrying about issues. But the Lord is working in me, and I am improving at this. Praise the Lord. Amen? I need your encouragement. Praise the Lord. That is a good thing. That is a good thing. This past week, God has been... working in that. Tuesday night, playing softball, I fell down. I spend a really high percentage of my softball time on the ground, which isn't necessarily a good thing. Usually it's not the best thing. And my shoulder really hurt when it happened. And my eyes got all fuzzy and for about a minute, and I thought, man, this isn't good. This is not good. The rest of the game went on, and my arm was sore throughout the night, and I went home, and I was honestly, thoughts were beginning of my mind, my arm is messed up, and tomorrow it is gonna hurt. That's really what I thought. It is gonna hurt. Rather than allowing that thought to rule the rest of my thinking throughout the evening, and to wake me up in the middle of the night and rule my thinking, which I admit openly, that kind of thing has had a part of my life in the past. I brought that before the Lord. And McKenna brought that before the Lord in her bedtime prayers. And I woke up Wednesday morning, for some reason, shocked that my shoulder felt pretty good. I couldn't believe it. You ever have those things? And it's like, how could you not believe this? You prayed about it. You released that. And instead of being up all night worrying about it, and instead of, oh no, what's going to happen to my shoulder? And instead of allowing that worry to rule my mind, I said with confidence, the Lord is my helper. And it feels pretty good. I'm probably not going to be better on Tuesday night than I was last week, though. It's not that much better. We are able to have confidence to deal with life and not be in a situation where we have to fear or feel as if the future is going to be full of drudgery and difficulty. And that's where worry begins to play a part in our lives. Go back to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. This is the truth. This is the truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Worry feels like an anchor sometimes. It just feels like an anchor. We feel like we're stuck. When worry and thoughts of beyond concern, I'm talking worry, when worry is there and those thoughts consume us, they weigh us down. They stop us from advancing. They stop us from moving forward. An anxious heart weighs a man down. But listen, as with most proverbs, this is the truth. However, here is a way that we're able to deal with that. Notice what it says in the second part of verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. A kind word cheers him up. We have a book full of kind words here. And so as we deal with anxiety, we've got a book that we can turn to that's full of kind words. But to be able to also recognize, and as individuals who know people in our lives who tend to be more on the worrying side, to be able to recognize that we can speak to them kind words that build them up. We can speak to them kind words that encourage their hearts. We can speak to them kind words that bring them to a point where maybe it just jars their believing enough that they can say, that is the truth. I don't have to worry about this like I have been doing. And so to be able to recognize when worry maybe is beginning to play the part in somebody else's life, to speak to them kind words. The kind words are, don't worry about it. But those are not the kind words, right? Sometimes that's what we say, especially to somebody we really love, right? Don't worry about that. That's dumb to worry about that. Those aren't kind words. Maybe it's the truth, but those aren't kind words. Kind words are, the Lord is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. The Lord is able to bring, even out of this difficulty, which hurts to go through, and brings us, though, to maturity and wholeness. Through this difficulty, God is able to walk there with us, and we can rely on Him, and He's not going to let us down. He is my helper, and therefore I do not need to be afraid. You see, those are kind words that we're able to share with people who deal with worry, or who even begin to speak words that sound like worry. We can speak to their hearts, and we can speak the truth of the Word of God, and be able to lift them up. Instead of being anchored down by worry, we're able to lift them up. And that helps, doesn't it? When in those off times that we happen to have worryful thoughts in our minds, having somebody there encouraging us with the Word of God and encouraging us knowing that they also join God and are on our side, that helps a lot. That brings a lot of encouragement. That lifts our hearts, doesn't it? So speak whole words to each other as well. Speak with kindness to each other, so that we don't, maybe as a couple, wallow in worry of what the future is going to hold, but rather speaking and encouraging each other with kind words. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, in this portion of Scripture, we find the account of Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water. And we see one of the things that brings fear into Peter's heart. But we can also relate and recognize that that's the kind of thing that brings us into a place where worry begins to play a part in our hearts as well. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 25. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. They were in a boat. He was not. He walked on the water. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter's in a position, in a situation where he actually stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. We could look at Peter and say, you know, what a goofball. Jesus is right there and he starts to sink. But he's got the guts and the confidence to step out of the boat. Not like the other disciples who are still in there. He has the confidence to step out of the boat. And when he does and begins to walk on the water, as Jesus is walking on the water, what does he start doing? He starts doubting. He sees the wind. He sees the waves. They're crashing up. And he begins to doubt. Rather than keeping his eyes focused on Jesus Christ, he turns his eyes instead to his surrounding and a world which looks like it's collapsing around him. Right? You ever been out on a rough lake before? Waves beating. Maybe you've got a little tiny rowboat and you've got waves that are beating up against the side. You got three guys that are too heavy for this little rowboat that you're in, and the water's crashing up over. It gets a little bit fearful. I've been there. Maybe you haven't been there exactly. It gets a little bit fearful when our focus becomes, oh no, the waves are crashing in. Oh no, what about this? Oh no, what about this? That begins to plant worry in our minds, or fear in our minds. There's really, the only difference between fear and worry is time. Right? Fear, we fear now, we worry about the future. Right? There's no difference in those emotions. There's no difference in the way that we fight against those emotions. There's no difference. The only thing that separates them is a period of time. Peter's in a situation where he has the ability to walk on the water. Jesus Christ is right there and is going to provide any kind of help and support that he needs. But rather than keeping his eyes focused on him, rather than keeping his eyes focused on the things that he ought to be focused on, he takes them off and puts them on the turmoil that's happening around him. The wind is still there blowing. The waves are still there, probably getting his knees and his hips wet as they come up onto him. And he begins to become afraid of that because his focus is on the trouble and the turmoil around him. Sound familiar? We begin to worry, we begin to fear when our focus is on the trouble and the turmoil around us. And we've got plenty of days with trouble and turmoil, right? Jesus himself said it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's enough worries of itself. Each day's going to take care of itself, or whatever it says. Each day's filled with trouble is almost what it sounds like. He recognized that that's the truth. Our eyes and our hearts shouldn't be focused on the turmoil around us. It's going to look different from day to day, but it's going to be there. Our eyes and our focus ought to be on Jesus Christ and on his Father and his God, our Father. That's where our focus ought to be. That's where our hearts ought to be. That's where our words ought to be. That's where our emotions ought to be. And so rather than being concerned with the things that are happening at work, which are always going to be there, being concerned with God and the things that he has. Being concerned with his truth and his direction. Being concerned with godliness and the way that we are able to live as more than conquerors through the difficulties that we face. At work and at home and with health problems and with all of the stuff, all the wind and the waves that come up in life around us. Be able to have confidence to know and to say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." In Psalm 94, it talks about verse 17 through 19. If you're keeping notes, go ahead and write it down. We won't turn there this morning. It talks about when we are anxious, we find our consolation in God, and that gives us joy. Our relief from worries and our relief from fear comes from God. Jesus recognized that and proclaimed that. He said that that's the truth. Do not worry, he said. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. after Hebrews is James, and then 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter chapter 5 verse 6. It says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That's the truth. That's the truth. God cares for you. And so you are able to then cast your worry and anxiety, cast these issues of life that we deal with, we are able to cast them to God and say, "Here it is. Here's stuff that is happening in my life. And he cares for you. He cares for you." We are able to release that to him and allow him to work in that instead of grabbing a hold of it like I do, and I think you sometimes mistakenly do as well, to grab a hold of it and say, I've got this one under control. I will worry about this until I am sick, and then it'll probably get better somehow. No. Cast all your care upon him. Give him all of your anxiety, because he cares for you. He cares for you. Philippians chapter 4, if we can go back there, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Now look at verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. I know I started reading it right away. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. Now, if he stopped there, that's sometimes the advice we give to each other. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about anything. But Paul here continues. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Cast all your cares upon God. By prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, go to God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You see the theme here? You see what the word says about times when worry may be beginning in our minds? First it says, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything. It tells us that it's not appropriate for our minds to be in that place, because that is not the mind of an individual who has been renewed and is made mature in Jesus Christ. Don't do that any longer. But instead, cast your care upon God. Go to him in prayer and thankfulness. Seek him and his righteousness. Instead of putting your minds on the things around you to worry about and fret about, instead, put your mind on God. Put your mind on God. Because he cares for you. And he's not going to leave you. And he's not going to forsake you. So you can say with confidence, what can you say? "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Right? Can we say that with confidence? Let's practice it together. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Amen. Let's say it again one more time. This time with the confidence that it says in Hebrews that we have, right? So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Amen. So don't worry about things then. Instead, say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He's not going to leave me. He cares for me. And he is able to take care of way better than me this stuff that is happening in life around me. And so I cast them to him and allow him to work in them, because he is my helper and I will not be afraid." Let's pray this morning. Great God, we give you thanks that indeed you care for us, that you're there for us and that we are going to deal with stuff in life. But rather than worrying about them, we are going to take confidence in you. We give you praise, God, that we indeed are able to say you're our helper. We know that that's the case. We know that that is the truth in all times. And we thank you for that, God. Father, then give us the reminder of that as we deal with life. To put off worry and to put on confidence in you. We give you thanks for that, God. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.